Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Super Paint, Super Deck, and Woodscapes products June 12th through the 22nd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This Father's Day, when you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost. It's like the father of all shipping services. It shows up to the airport way too early, just to play it safe. It's overprotective about all the things that truly matter, and it's always prompt, especially to be with family. Make it your first choice to celebrate your dad. Ship UPS Air with our money back guarantee, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Visit theupsstore.com/airshipping for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
Now that Wendy's has these new biggie deals, everyone in the family can get what they're craving, from Nugs to JBCs. The parental units can get an $8 biggie bundle, the eldest who think they're so grown can get a $6 biggie bag, and the little one who can do no wrong can get a $4 biggie bites. You know, assuming they have a credit card. No, I'm kidding. We take cash too. $4, $6, and $8 biggie deals for the whole family. Only at Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning. Good morning.
Are you all right, pal?
I'm all right, yeah. You all right?
I'm all right. I'm just getting to that point of the year where you just... everybody's poorly with something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. There's not a lot you could do. It's just... you know, it's cold and damp and it's just that. And yeah. I don't know what, but I don't know about your boy, but my eldest girls, it only takes the slightest thing for them to go, oh, I don't think I should go in today.
Yeah. And excuse.
I just don't take it. My daughter said the other day, I don't feel motivated. What?
Well, I feel like every day. I mean, you can't use that excuse.
I don't feel motivated to go to school today. I said, can I let you into a little secret of life? It doesn't matter whether you're motivated or not. You just got to go to school or work. And when you're motivated, that just makes those days easier. That's it.
Yeah. It's only a bad thing if your job is being a motivational speaker. You know what I mean? Exactly.
I said, arguably, I have got one of the greatest jobs in the world. I'm a professional messer about it. I bring joy and tell jokes and dress up and pretend to be other people and have a laugh and get treated incredibly well for the amount of talent that I have. And yet even I, on a Monday morning go, oh, God.
Oh, not Mondays again.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, can someone get me a coffee? I don't feel motivated.
Yeah.
So I just, anyway, she got in the end. But yeah, it's just this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hope everybody out there is all right this morning. We missed last week, so I apologise for that. But we're back. We're back this week. We've got all sorts of things going on this morning. We'll be playing Hit With Your Best Facts, of course, at some point. And we'll also be talking about things that you invented, which is a surprisingly popular topic. So if you want to ever get in touch with us, you can always email jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. What's going on, Edge Towers, Steve?
Well, this is slightly pre-recorded, so this is it's a school morning, so they're all getting ready. I don't think you can hear it, but my son's practicing his violin. He's seven. I think he's the only one who does violin in his class.
I was going to ask, who's decided on that instrument?
We just tried him with an instrument, and then he seemed to like it, and we went, oh, that's good. He's found his thing. He's going to be the next Vanessa May or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we discovered, like, last year, we were like, what do the other kids do when you go to your violin lesson? And he said, well, they did double maths. I was like, oh, I see what's going on.
Okay. Clever lad.
He's just gone. I just want to be a violinist.
I'm just so Nigel Kennedy of Kent.
It's literally once a week, isn't it? So I mean, I don't know. But he's better than me already, but I mean, that's...
Yeah,
he's doing Jingle Bells at the minute for Christmas.
Right.
It's a weird... Because obviously it's quite early stages, so... There's no sort of not too many sort of finger notes on the fretboard. It's kind of more just open strings.
Jingle
bells sort of sounds like that. It's all of, you know, it's hard.
I mean, I would argue, I would argue when it comes to the violin that even when it's played incredibly well, it's still a bit annoying of an instrument.
I think you're thinking of the fiddle.
No, fiddle's another thing. I just think even when played like...
I think that's always annoying, the fiddle.
Agreed. I mean, I'm from an Irish family. We're in, Irish band, so I've heard a lot of fiddle.
It's high, isn't it? Yeah. It's high, isn't it? It feels like it's mocking you. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what it is.
Why do we know violin players? Like, we've just mentioned... You mentioned Vanessa May. I mentioned Nigel Kennedy.
Vanessa May.
Why do we know at least two violin players when... How many trombone players do you know?
I don't know. It's just because I think Nigel Kennedy was a bit punky, wasn't he? And he supported Aston Villa.
Right. Yeah, Vanessa May was beautiful.
That's memorable, isn't it? She supported West Brom, didn't she?
She was they were rivals, of course.
I don't know. How many cellists must have been on variety shows more.
Tuba
Name a double bass player.
Don't know any.
I do know one tuba player, actually.
Tubist? Yeah, I'll go with tubist.
I know one. Name him.
It's like not a famous person.
I just know one. You know, at least I know one.
Just a friend of ours. His husband.
Yeah, a friend of ours' husband.
I thought you were going to...
I don't even think he's picked up a tuba in 10 years either. But, you know, he was. Or was it the French horn?
There you go, you see. But hey, guess what's coming up, Steve? It's only Christmas.
No. Are you getting excited?
If I'm honest, I get more excited about our Christmas special.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, you know what? What's been your eye like? So the Christmas special, when we eat weird and wonderful food, individual limited edition food creations from the supermarkets of Great Britain and beyond.
Ooh.
What's been the weirdest thing that you can remember we've had?
I think the weirdest thing is the sauce. Did we have like sprout flavoured sauce one year?
That was weird. Sprout ketchup,
Sprout vodka. The weirdest thing ever.
No, there was a Christmas dinner vodka. That's what you're thinking of.
That was it.
That's the weirdest thing ever.
That was horrible.
It smelt like you've thrown all the dishes in the hot water, put a bit of fairy liquid on top, a bit of lemon, and that was what it tasted like.
I remember it smelling like your sort of alcoholic uncle had just finished his Christmas dinner and then burped in your face. That's what it smelled like.
Vivid.
I've still got it.
Oh, it's about 3-4 years ago, that, and that's still the one that sticks with us. And that still was the
memory. Still a memory. But if you have spotted any sort of limited edition Christmas flavoured alcohol or food or snacks or whatever it is, and we might have missed it, drop me an email, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. We can try it for you. And you don't have to then. We can find out whether it's quite nice or not.
Yeah, we'll get someone to divvy up, which is like, we want some alcohol and some food, because otherwise, because we do drink the alcohol.
Oh, we made that mistake.
So if it's just alcohol, we'll be battered. So we need somebody to throw in some mince pies and some crisps or something. We need something to keep us on the right side of sobriety.
And Ofcom.
Yeah, that's that one, yeah. That.
Yeah, so let us know if you've spotted any, whatever it is, could be absolutely anything. I'm a sucker for a limited edition flavour of something at the best of times. So Christmas, it just adds tenfold. So let us know. jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Send us a link to it or whatever it is that you've spotted whilst out there, or even just tell us your favourite that you've seen over the year. Maybe we can find it ourselves. But that's our Christmas special this coming soon.
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
It's time for a bit of this.
Questions for Steve. 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 Questions for Steve.
Questions for Steve.
Questions for Steve.
Slightly different one this week, Steve. Bush and Richie from Drive Time have got a question for Steve. So let's have a listen to it.
I've got an idea for a spin-off show. If Jason ever goes on holiday and it's just Steve, they should do a series of shows, just Steve on his own, called Edging. I just want to put it out there. Let's see what comes back from the Manford camp.
Here's another idea. Should Jason go on holiday for the weekend and Steve Edge is in on his own, a listener gets invited in to perform the show sat on Steve's lap, and the show is called On the Edge.
All right, can we go one more?
Yeah, do it.
Right, I don't know, in terms of Jason, our producer will be able to tell us this, does he have boys or girls in terms of his children?
He's got a mix.
Okay, he's got a mix, so... If they're a little bit older, he should do a tour called Manford and Sons. Three great ideas there. Let's wait for them to get back to us.
I feel like,
From the Edge.
That's a possible biography title, isn't it? You know, On the Edge, Edge of Sanity, Edge of Reason, Edge of Madness.
Yeah.
Depends which way it goes, really.
Also, how you get on with your guest. You know what I mean?
Because if you get on with each other,
then that's going to be a fun show. Even though they're sat on your knee, it's going to be a fun show. But imagine you didn't click, and then some poor fella.
I just think even if you did get on with them, there's a point when it becomes awkward. Even if you got on like a house on fire, like you're my best mate, but if you were sat on my lap for longer than about 25 minutes, I'm gonna, because you know I love you, I'm gonna go 25 minutes. But even after that,
appreciate that.
That's a long time, isn't it?
Manford and Sons, I think, would annoy my daughters, if I'm honest. So I don't think that's
going to
work.
They'd be pushed out of the family business. No, that's not right, is it? No.
Yeah. But I did have that time. I told you that, didn't I, that time where the fella from who sang A Whiter Shade of Pale. What's that band called? Procol Harum.
Procol Harum, is it?
Yeah, I think so. Where he mistook me for the guy from Mumford and Sons just because of my surname. Yeah, because actually, like, do you know what the guy from Mumford and Sons looks like, Steve?
No.
Not really. You wouldn't pick him in a lineup, would you?
No, I wouldn't pick him. No.
I don't know what he looks like.
It could look like you.
I imagine
a beard, a little bit of hair.
Yeah. Most British blokes look a bit like me. Anyway.
I think he would probably wear more folky clothes, though. I think he would have like a neckerchief or something, which I've never seen you wear. I'm not against, but
it's not me. But yeah, I remember that time when that fella from Procol Harum mistook me for the lead singer of Mumford and Sons.
One of the Mumfords.
Even though I'd just done a 10-minute stand up routine at a charity gig,
you were doing a sideline.
No, he did, and then he said, I didn't know you did stand up as well. And I thought he was being smart because I think I might have just done my album or whatever. And I sort of laughed. I went, oh, yeah. He went, oh, I love your music. And I thought, oh, he's being genuine here. Nice. Maybe he's listened to my song of musical hits that I released 1 year. And then after a couple more minutes, I was thinking, hang on a minute. I don't know who he thinks I am. And then he said, I also thought the opening song at the One Love concert in Manchester was, I thought that was very brave of you. And I just thought, oh no. I'm too far into the conversation
It's awful when that happens, isn't it?
To correct him, So I just had to ride it out and say thank you very much and quickly leave. awful moment.
Put your guitar in your bag.
Yeah.
Said, come on, lads. And just grab your ukulele. We're off.
Steve, your cats. Do you feel like they're expressive?
One of them. Mine are complicated, aren't they? One's basically a dog, and the other one basically left for 2 months, and we had to get dragged back into our house.
Yeah.
By the old lady who lives across the way, and he sort of sat behind me. Now, this room that I record in, my office, as I like to call it, or student digs, as he likes to call it.
Yeah.
He basically lives in this room now like a student, and I bring his food up on a tray like a butler. And give it to him. He doesn't move from this room. He just eyeballs me. And
he doesn't come down to the kitchen to have his dinner.
No.
That's hilarious.
No. The other one steals his food, so I think that was one of the reasons he might have left. But now he gets the silver platter service. Silver service, literally. And he's just sitting there, just licking himself, copping up fur balls. It's a light life, isn't it? It's a lovely
life. Steve, experts have revealed that your cat actually has 300 different facial expressions.
No. I don't think they've got four.
Well, they've got 300, according to experts. There are four warning signs that you could be in the bad books with your cat. They have a reputation of being loners, but as it turns out, they're trying to chat to us. We just haven't caught on to it yet. Our feline friends have almost 300 different facial expressions that they employ to tell us what they want. All we have to do is pay more attention. Over 10 months, researchers observed 53 domestic cats in a cat cafe and recorded 186 separate meetings between the animals. Meetings. Many, that sounds like they're all sat around a table.
Yeah. All right. Hey, guys. What do you want to talk about? Minutes. What face is it? Every time I do my melancholic face, no one notices. I just want a pat on the back sometimes. do it for a stay.
Many of their expressions are surprisingly friendly. Researchers found 126 different expressions of friendliness and even love, as well as 102 unfriendly expressions. I think that's what we're getting mostly in our house. You might recognise the peaceful half-closed eyes expression on your kitty. That means it's safe and feels loved. Then, on the other hand, if your cat narrows its eyes at you and flattens its back, you are not in the good books. But not everything was so clear. There were 48 facial expressions that researchers couldn't figure out at all. No idea.
Oh, okay.
Still now, after doing all that work. 48. What's it thinking?
Yeah, what is that one? Well, mine's behind me right now. Right, mine is sat behind me. Right. He's just sort of having a little clean.
Yeah, what's he doing with
his face?
I'll
try and catch his eye, and I'll tell you what. I'll have a look what the face is. Hang on. Oh. Wiltie. Yeah, he's going to knock me out. He's going to take my eye out.
Well, what's his mouth doing? His mouth is quite a good indicator, it says here.
Slightly open, but he's been sort of licking himself. So it's like, it's open in a way like he's disgusted himself. And it's like, oh, God, what have I got?
I've got to stop
doing this. Opening that way. Or he's not finished. Or, oh, God, oh, what was that? You know, that's sort of slightly slack. So that's what
Over half the expressions meant that they wanted to play, including the cat's lips being pulled outwards and their bottom teeth showing, mouth open and jaw stretched. So it could be that they, you know, it wants a fight. What were you saying? Its eyes, what's its eyes doing?
Teeth, haven't they? No, his eyes, they've always been a bit slightly cross-eyed, so it's hard to know. He was a rescue cat, so I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah, who knows what happened.
One's always been looking at, you know, Blackpool. The other one,
I see.
It's one of them.
It's good to know though that they can do that. I gotta say, these researchers are doing, you know, like when someone says they're a scientist or like a researcher, you go, oh, amazing, they're just trying to cure cancer or find if there's other things in other planets. And then there's just some knocking around.
If you met him in a pub, you'd say that. You'd say that to him. So, what have you been on all other planets? And I'll be the guy in the pub. So, what do you do for a living, mate?
Me, I'm a scientist.
Wow, that must seem to train pretty hard. What do you do? Like, is it like space rocket scientists? Are you doing that stuff, going to another planet, getting minerals back, or are you trying to cure diseases that we've had first? Or are you going into the rainforest and finding, like, you know, animals and things that you've never seen before, and you can create... what do you do? What's your day-to-day? Talk us through an average day.
Well, actually, at the moment, I'm just trying to work out what cats are thinking.
Remember that? It's that famous footage of that mouse with an ear on its back. No one needed that, did they?
Nobody needed that. What were you doing?
What are they trying to prove? I've still not seen the fruits of that experiment yet. Have you?
No, nobody knows what happened.
This is because we put that ear on that mouse's back 15 years ago.
Cured.
And that's why we now have that.
Nope.
Not nothing. Just a mouse that everything's dead load for.
Frankenstein experiment.
Good morning. Yeah, well, I'm in my cat's student's
room. You're in your cat's room, of course. Sharing your cat's room. You know, so the other week, Steve, we were chatting about going to the cinema and putting like sweets and chocolate like in your popcorn.
You say you invented this, didn't you?
I did. I invented that about 20 years ago, and I've popped it online. A lot of people claiming that they'd done it previous to that, but I don't think so because I invented it. So. How could you have? What, you a time traveller?
I don't think so.
So it's weird that no one had thought of it before, but hey-ho, that's it. So, and then I was annoyed because when I went to our local cinema, Cineworld there, it might have been the Lights. We've got the Lights Stockport, and they sell popcorn toppers, which are just a little pot of sweets that you and chocolates that you put on top of your popcorn. I was livid. I thought I could have been a multimillionaire, Steve.
Did you tell him? Did you tell him you'd invented it? Did you tell the lad on minimum wage?
Well, he didn't look bothered, if I'm honest. So anyway, that was my invention. And so I just asked online, because obviously I should have got a patent out, because I've missed out on a fortune there. Have you ever had an invention stolen? Like I have with me popcorn topper.
Yeah, no, you've made it pretty clear. You should have got a patent, like you said. You should have. You're getting quick with these things.
Yeah. So hopefully that's a lesson to everybody. I'm like I'm like the person who sold his shares for Apple like early on. You know what I mean? Like you never get over that.
When you're a kid, lots of things used to say patent pending on them.
Yeah, what did that mean? Yeah,
so they hadn't actually got one yet, had they?
Yeah, but they just wanted to release it.
Right, I'm going
to
nick this.
I'll have it, don't they? So here's some other people have been also victims of inventing things. So let's go through them here. We've got Neil Keating, who says about 20 years ago, I kept on saying this should be a heated clothes horse. And then Lakeland stole my idea.
Yeah, they will.
He kept saying it.
When
Steve.
Did he? He must. Maybe he said it in Lakeland, and somebody like the
totally
day.
Totally,
that
that's
the
what's
day
happened.
The top inventor was in, and he heard him go, "Oh, somebody should invent a heated." And they went, oh,
"Yeah,
can put that and write that down."
That's exactly what's happened. Well, that's what happened with my popcorn topper. I must have said it at the cinema, or they just saw me do it.
Somebody saw you do it, yeah.
I think so, yeah. Jasmine Storm says, as a teenager in the 80s, I used to put broken chocolate digestive biscuits in my yoghurt and then blimmin' Muller stole it.
Yeah. I feel like they came in with a fruit corner first. I mean, that was already invented, wasn't it? Fruit in, because nobody, what was the
they
point
just
of that?
Deconstructed just the fruit yoghurt, in, didn't they?
You tipped it straight in anyway, didn't you?
Yeah, of course
you
did.
If you didn't want the fruit, you would have bought a plain yoghurt.
It's got plain yoghurt, I know. It was just making us feel like we had a sort of a part in it, I guess.
Some sort of power, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What about Teresa here, who invented the phrase, you're having a giraffe, instead of you're having a laugh? Yeah, she invented it, Steve. Yeah. Teresa, she saw a gift set in Tesco with those words on it a few days ago, and I was livid.
Is that the first time she'd seen it? Yeah. Just went white. And her husband went, you all right, Tree? And she's like, I can't believe that. You are having a giraffe. Because I invented that phrase.
I said that, yeah. She also says, I also call me, like as a sort of a low-level insult, I call my kids donuts. Again, that's now been popularised. She invented that as well, Steve. You little she's donut. She's good form, yeah. You better stick around, Teresa. She's invented. She's like Shakespeare. Just like loads of words and phrases have been invented because of her.
Throwing stuff out there, yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Have you invented something that you just never told anyone about and then it became an actual thing? And the thing is, Steve, I believe all these people. I believe them 100% because...
Well, why would you make it up?
Why would you make it up? Exactly. No. And I've also been a victim of this as well. Chris Tatt says, I used to walk home drunk, but couldn't hold a chicken kebab and cheesy chips. So one night, I got them.
So also, not only is this an invention that's very specific to him, he's invented it while he was drunk.
Yeah.
While walking home. Let me hear the end of this story. because that's
why he never got it patented. So one night, I got them to put it all in one tray without the naan bread and some sauce and salad. And now the meal is on Just Eat and everyone in town buys it.
There you go. Invented it. Invented
He had kebab in one hand, cheesy chips in other. He's thinking, how am I going to eat these?
Yeah.
Put them in one tray.
Just going cold, just burning his hands. And he's drunk. So if he falls, he's just going to end up face first, in the chips.
Of course.
Because he's got no hands to protect himself.
Exactly. And obviously what's happened there is he's so drunk, he's got, oh my God, that'd be a great invention. I'm just going to go on a patent website and just... It's just, and every time he just drops off, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's forgotten to do it.
Yeah.
I bet there's a sort of like a cardboard box somewhere that stinks of kebab with patent pending written on it in Sharpie to remind himself. He's gone, I'll do that and I'll see that in the morning and I will ring him. And then he's like, where's that? Oh, she's thrown it away or something. That's what's happened there.
Yeah, that's what's happened. He could have been a millionaire, that guy. Chris Pearson says, in the early 2000s, I suggested to a work colleague that bus stops should have some kind of live electronic sign to tell us when the next bus would arrive. She said, that is a great idea. Anyway, yeah. It's commonplace now.
Well, it's there everywhere, isn't it?
It's out there. Lindsay Shooter says, I invented Gogglebox. Gogglebox, one of the most successful TV shows on telly. Lindsay invented it,
by watching the telly and just talking? Where did she invent it?
She said, I used to always say how much fun it would be to watch me and my mum watching telly. The guy who won a BAFTA for it a few years ago comes from my town too, so he definitely overheard me say it somewhere.
Yeah, well, there you go. No. Yeah. Is this the difference between people like Steve Jobs and us normal people?
Totally.
They just did the patent.
They got it sorted,
in there quicker.
Instead of Lindsay sat at home watching the BAFTAs going, it's him! It's him from the cafe!
I know him!
He was listening to us, ma'am, do you remember?
The one with the big earpiece and the recording device on the table, do you remember?
He sent that little mouse with an ear on its back to listen to us. That's what it's for.
That's what it's all for. That's
there you go.
It's a spy device. Yeah, it says on the ear, patent pending.
Patent pending. Anyway, Nicola Norbury says, I used to ask for sweet and salty mixed popcorn years ago and I used to get weird looks and now they sell it like it's normal.
Yeah, I still think it's abnormal, but yeah.
I do as well.
Yeah, she's one of the first, though. Yeah.
Salted popcorn, what a weird thing that is. Never got
Especially when it's mixed like that. It's such a surprise, isn't it?
Every mouthful's a surprise.
Because you're in the dark, isn't you? So you just put your hand in, you put one in, oh, that's a sweet one. Oh, God, what's that doing in there? You know, it's, no.
Horrible.
I mean, you didn't because you were feeling your way around your revels or whatever you had in there.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was doing. Anna Graves says, I invented recycling bins before the council did. # bin chat. So we used to go to the paper bank and the bottle bank every week and it was a right faff and hardly anybody used it. I wrote to Blue Peter when I was about 11 or 12 and said that if they wanted everybody to recycle, we should have recycling bins at home that got collected like our household waste as an incentive for everyone to use them. I'm 42 now and the green Blue Peter badge I got is still one of my most prized possessions. So she's actually got proof that she invented it, Steve.
She got rewarded for it. Yeah, she did. You know, she did get the reward, didn't she? She got the badge.
Well, I wouldn't say financially rewarded.
Not the financial reward. No,
morally.
No. But I mean, you know, she's morally. We're all up in the planet, aren't we? She's got the moral high ground and she's got the badge.
Hey, talking of Blue Peter, the Blue Peter badge, I presume it still gets you in free places and whatnot.
Where could you get in free? Like Stringfellows and stuff? Where would you?
I don't think Stringfellows, no. 2-for-1 on dances.
If I was a doorman on any club and somebody went, all right, mate, got a Blue Peter badge, I go. And you go, sir, have a lovely evening. I would let anyone in.
I think that should be. It should be get you to the front of a queue.
It should get you in anywhere, like the key to the city. It should get you in any club.
Yeah, and no queuing at rides at Alton Towers and stuff like that. It should get you. Should actually walk mean something. It used to mean something, that badge.
When
I was hosting Children in Need last week, we had young Lenny Rush, who's 15, I think. And anyway, he was being interviewed, because he's a child, I understand, but he was being interviewed by Blue Peter, the people on Blue Peter, who you don't know anymore. I mean, obviously, when we were young, we know who they were, didn't we? Because we watched it, but now I don't know. I was more of an ITV kid, to be honest. Anyway, they were interviewing young Lenny Rush, and then they said, and because you're hosting Children in Need this year, and we're all stood around watching, me, Alex Scott, you know, Mel Giedroy, Chris Ramsey, we're all sat around watching. And then the guy gave him a Blue Peter badge because he was hosting Children in Need this year. And I was a bit like, whoa, we're all hosting it.
No, no. Yeah, you can't just give one. We're all hosting it, aren't we? Yeah.
You can't just give one person just because he's 15 and it's his first time doing it a badge and none of us a badge. Oh, I was furious. But obviously I had to keep it internal. Yeah, whatever, Children in Need, it's not about me. You know, I get it, but it felt wrong to kick off. But
at that moment, Yeah, there's an injustice been done here. Maybe you'll have a little VT of your own next year.
Yeah. Get me a blue pizza badge. Oh, I just thought it was a bit... Just thought it was a bit out of order, to be honest, Steve.
It is. No, I agree with you. It's bang out of order.
You can't just reward one person when everybody's doing it.
No, as Teresa always says, they're having a giraffe. You know what I mean?
You donut. Joey Keelty invented foot golf. He used to roll up a ball of socks, pick a small space in a room, make a hole which could be a wash basket, a vase or even a shoe. Then I would just start at the other end of the room and see how few kicks it would take me to navigate the ball of socks through the course. And into. He must have been a student. That's not someone with a job.
No, I mean, he's got a football. No, exactly. He might have a bundle of old
ball,
socks.
Yeah.
What he invented was a sock ball.
Sock ball. That's where you went wrong.
That's a better name, actually.
It is, actually. Yeah, I quite like that. Jeanette Foster says she invented piccalilli sauce. No, that must be thousands of
that's
years
been
old.
Been around piccalilli. A while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've like got a jar in my kitchen like that's 20 years old.
Yeah, I have as well. You don't go out of date. It's pickled, isn't it? I mean, it's pickled, best isn't before, isn't it? Not used by. It's BB.
Well, this is her story. She says, I was talking to the rep from a local maker. I don't know what a local maker is, from our area, who was putting their products on supermarket shelves and telling them I made my own and used to put the rest of the sauce in a bottle. Within weeks, they had it on their shelves next to their jars of piccalilli.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like some piccalilli sauce in a bottle is what she's saying, not piccalilli sauce.
Oh, okay.
She's saying in a bottle. Right, so she was making it fresh.
Yeah,
and then she had the idea to put it in a bottle. Well, there you go. Well, maybe she did invent that. Then I'll take that back. Ben says, about 12 years ago, I came up with a book-stroke-film script, but never did anything about it. About 5 years later, the exact same thing came out as a film, Train to Busan. Excellent film too. Gutted I didn't actually do anything with it at the time.
Well, these things happen,
don't they?
I've not seen that.
Yeah. I think it's like a... Is it a zombie thing on a train, I think? I don't know. I think so. I think my dad's seen it.
Well, he'd know.
But I mean, for me and you, Steve, of people who do actually write ideas and things for TV, that is one of the most frustrating things, isn't it? When you something comes on and you think, oh, I had that idea.
That was that idea we had. I still go down with the theory, though, that somebody's listening all the time.
Always.
And they're nicking your ideas. Yeah. I but mean, we could actually, be like, yeah, it's a collective, you know, it's a time and place.
We've been a victim of that, though, haven't we? We actually had a really good idea when we were nobodies, when we weren't even on the radio. Yeah. We were just nothing. We had a brilliant idea. I'm going to put it out there, Steve. I'm not going to say the idea because I don't want to get sued, but a brilliant idea. We sent it in to one of the main TV companies.
And, not ITV.
Which was not ITV, the other one. And... It went quite far. We did read-throughs. We had actors in. All sorts. A
couple of read-throughs. You had good actors in. We had lots
really
of brilliant
good,
actors
strong
in,
actors,
didn't we?
Yeah. And then nothing happened. They said, oh, it's not quite right. And then, what, a year later?
The guy who was head of the department.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, let's say it. He was the head of the department for new writers.
He then went... He would have seen our idea.
He would have seen it because we were in a room with him.
Yeah, then he went somewhere else, and then the first thing he did was... Oh, that's weird, wasn't it?
Make a show with the same topic.
Anyway.
Which I've still never watched.
No.
I watched episode one.
I auditioned for it, and he even said in the room, your idea, you had no idea it was like this. And I was like, yeah, I did.
Funny, that, isn't it?
And then didn't get it.
Didn't even get it. Couldn't even give you a part in your own idea.
No.
But that's when you're a new writer, they can do that to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not bitter about it at all.
No. It's water under the bridge, isn't it?
Thanks for all your messages this morning of inventions. I'm definitely going to come back to this topic because there's some here I'm flicking through now that I just think, oh, I want to know more about that. I want
a big one. I want somebody claiming they invented, you know, the Wi-Fi or something.
Well, I mean, most of them are fairly small.
I mean... Yeah.
You know, Debbie invented the trainer sock. And Nikki invented handbags with lights inside.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. That's a great idea, isn't it?
It's a good one, isn't it? Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes, we've got lots of lots of different ones there. Karen invented the salad washer. Paul, what about this? Is pretty big though. What about this? Paul, 30 odd years ago, I invented the meal deal. Okay. That's pretty big, isn't it? That's pretty big. Well, look, he said, I worked
in the store has to take it on. Oh, right, well, okay.
He worked in a supermarket and he used to get loads of office staff in. I said to a manager, you know what we should do? A promotion called a meal deal. They could buy a sandwich, a drink, and a snack for a set price. He said, that'll never work. That'll never take off.
So he actually did invent it, though.
He did actually invent the meal deal. Yeah.
This is Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
Hit me with your best fact. Fire away.
That's right, it's Hit Me With Your Best Facts. We play it every week. Essentially, you've just got to send us your best facts, haven't you, Steve?
Yeah, we want a fact that tickles our fancy, and we want to Google, but we won't Google.
I actually used one of our facts last night at a gig. I was doing a corporate gig, Christmas end-of-year thing for Pirelli Tyres over in Leeds. And which fact did I use, Steve?
The Lego fact.
The Lego fact. The
biggest tyre manufacturer. Biggest tyre manufacturer in the world is Lego.
That's right. Oh, they love
a Michelin. Wasn't there a Michelin tyres fact as well? There was a Michelin guide fact, wasn't there?
Probably.
That I think they made the restaurants in like far-flung places so that basically tyres got ruined when you went there. It was way of you using your tyres, the Michelin guide. Like, in the Outer Hebrides, down the old track road, there's you need a new tyre. But it's a good restaurant, isn't it? With that.
If you've got a fact, email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. We'll start off with Charlene Atkins, who tells us corned beef was made the shape it is with a key with soldiers in mind. Tins were made the shape so that when the key is used to remove a section from the tin, the large end will fit over the small end and form its own container for keeping the uneaten part of the corned beef fresh, which was used by many soldiers.
Ooh.
I can't quite work out the maths of that.
I think is it fatter at the bottom? So when you do the key thing, you take it off and you've eaten a bit, it will then seal over the top part.
All right. Fair enough. I love a bit of corned beef.
It's more expensive than you think, isn't it, corned beef?
Isn't it? Have you bought it by the slice? Yeah. Blooming heck.
No, it's like Spam though. You know, you think it's like a cheap thing. It's not.
No, it's not.
They're all more expensive than you thought.
That's crazy.
I've got a couple of tins in my war cupboard.
Just in case it all kicks off.
Yeah, and I've got that cupboard just full of stuff that lasts for 20 years and, it's all ready to go.
Already, yeah. People laugh at you, but they won't do, won't they, when they're hungry and we're at war?
Oh, well, I'll be laughing my head off eating my corned beef.
Exactly, you'd be having a giraffe. That's the reason we invented that.
That's what always says, yeah.
Paul Stevens tells us, Ridley Scott directed the famous 1973 Hovis commercial with the boy pushing the bike up a cobbled street.
Yeah, that's quite well known, I think. I knew that.
Is it?
Knew
that. Did you?
Yeah.
That one,
yeah.
I didn't know. I feel like maybe I knew that one. That's a good one, though.
I think didn't he reshoot it about 10 years ago with a kid now and he's a fully grown man.
Oh,
I think
that's clever.
I think there was like an anniversary. I think they shot it again. But yeah, clever. I think he did a few adverts, didn't he?
Bernie tells us, did you know in Spain they don't have a tooth fairy, but instead have a tooth mouse called Perez?
Really? Oh, he's a mouse, is he?
There is a mouse in Spain.
So he just sneaks in. Oh, that's quite hard to explain to a kid that a little mouse is going to run in the middle of the night, crawl under your pillow, nick your tooth and run off. You wouldn't be happy with that, would you? The tooth fairy flies in silently, little wings are flapping. Mm. And then that's why we were always saying about the coins, just carrying one single coin, £2, £1, whatever it is, and then slightly lifts up, pops it underneath and goes. That's why it's not, it can't be notes, because the idea of cumbersome flying in with a wallet, you got licking a finger, right, we got a fork, right, what we got a molar, you know what I mean? It's too much.
No, you
so
can't.
That's why. No.
Our tooth fairy.
Rat.
I don't know if it's the same tooth fairy everywhere or it's like a bank of tooth fairies, but
it's like office angels. I think there's a lot of, they hire them in. There's a lot.
I was forgotten three times this year.
Really?
Yeah, and it's only the next morning. My daughter's mentioned it, and then thankfully that night they have remembered. and cubs.
Do you think they maybe they're busy? Maybe there's a lot of kids around York. Maybe they've gone to like the wrong house or something, got confused.
There's a lot of kids in our house, yeah.
Maybe they've gone to the wrong house though and tried to pull a kid's tooth out, or they're still under the pillow going, "Where is it? Where is it?"
I think it's when you're messing around and you're not going to bed on time. That's the reason they don't come.
So, well, you say this, but what period are we coming into? We're coming into elf period, aren't we?
Yeah,
elf on a shelf period.
Oh, he's back next week. I forgot about that.
Already, I can feel the anxiety of sitting there. Right, let's go to bed then. Lying in bed. Absolutely. The elf. Yeah. Oh, the elf. Do you know the worst thing? We've got two elves. We've got to think of things for two to do. Because we forgot one.
What do you mean? Well,
one year forgot one.
You mean the elf forgot?
The elf forgot to come. Sorry.
What are you talking about?
No. When we open. No. Listen. I phrased that wrong. When I opened the Christmas box with all the decorations in.
Yeah.
I think he hides in there somewhere because he used it, like next day he's just there doing stuff.
One year he wasn't there.
No. Right. So the next day I did the usual ritual. I lay in the snow naked. I screamed, "Santa, send another elf." And then another elf, you know, this is right, isn't it? And then another elf appeared the next day, like the fourth or the fifth. But then there was two of them.
Oh,
so
now two
of them always come.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We've got a good one and a bad one.
Oh, you got a goodie and a baddie?
Yeah.
They look the same? Or one got different trousers or something?
Good one's sort of like a bit softer and a bit nicer. And the
what you're trying to say is one was from Costco and one from Poundland.
They're all from Lapland, so I don't know what you're talking about, Steve.
Did I say Poundland? I meant Lapland, sorry. That's what I meant. Got me lands mixed up. Basically, hands stuck together, hands magnet together, or stitched together.
Exactly.
Well,
I guess there's more people dead than there is alive, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Parisians. There's more dead Parisians than there are alive Parisians.
But why so specific to Paris? That's just the world, isn't it?
I know, it must be. Must be
dead
London.
Dead people and alive people.
Yeah.
No, that's the one. Adam Nev says, bees have an extra stomach called a honey stomach. They store nectar there, and it thickens to honey by essentially being sick into another bee who stores it in their honey stomach and passes it on. The gross cycle continues.
I've gone right off honey.
I've gone right off honey.
Just throwing up into each other's mouths. Like two bees, one cup. No.
I did not. Well. Oh, well. If you're wondering where we are next week, we've been taken off air.
Well, I'm not doing it. Either.
You've done nothing wrong. Steve, you've done nothing wrong. Because like a lot of things, you know, if you get it, you're a wrong one.
Yeah.
To be fair.
I just knew it was a thing, but I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I don't know it. You don't know it. Nobody knows it. We're just talking about honey here.
And a pot, two honeys.
Exactly. One pot. That's what we're talking about. Exactly. All right, stop it. Just stop it. You're not helping. I'm getting us out of the mess and you're putting us back in. Just stop talking.
It's just because they're called, it's called honey. It's weird.
Stop it. You've already nearly ruined
nectar.
Christmas.
Just call it nectar.
Now this.
We always say, the Christmas you get, you deserve.
We're playing Hit Me With Your Best Fact this morning. We've had some good ones so far. Andy joins in. He says, did you know that there's only two countries in the world that doesn't have the colours red, white or blue in their flag? Oh, that's a good one.
This is one of those things that we'd say it and then they go, no, that's not a country, that's a republic. You know, we get in trouble for this.
Yeah.
Okay. There's only two countries that don't have?
Red, white or blue in their flag. Who doesn't? That'd be one of the yellow-based ones.
Yeah.
What colour's Jamaica? Is that yellow and green?
Green.
Has that got blue in it?
We're not going to work it out. We're not.
Yeah. No, I'll end up insulting some nation.
No. Or republic.
Maybe, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's a good one, that, though. It's making me think. It's making me want to Google it. Oh. But then it is hit me with your best facts. It is a fact, but like, there's a couple of these that turn into, like, questions, you know what I mean? Like, sort of teasers, almost.
Yeah. Good to know, though, that. That's a good fact.
Yeah, it's good. It is good. But what are they? What are they? Tana says, did you know a glass ball, like a marble, for example, will bounce higher than a rubber ball of the same size? And a steel ball will also bounce higher than a rubber ball.
What?
A marble?
Will bounce higher than a rubber ball? Your voice went really high there.
She's been drinking. How can that happen?
Is it got to be like in an anti-gravity chamber or something? You know, for this sort of thing.
Surely it would just smash on the floor.
I've thrown a sort of big heavy steel ball when I was a kid. You know, they were just around more, weren't they? And I remember that just hitting the floor. I don't remember that bouncing. And I had a power ball and that bounced. That went up to bang, hit the ceiling and came back down again.
The rubber ball would bounce all over the place.
Everywhere.
I need to know what the parameters of this experiment are.
Yeah. Is it like anti-gravity chamber stored? You know, like when you drop a feather on a thing in an anti-gravity?
Oh, yeah.
In vacuum, that's what the word I was after. Mm. They fall at the same speed, don't they? But, you know, they don't in real life.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. I need to know more about that one. We've got this one. Charlotte Welks says, Prince Charles is... Well, it's not Prince Charles, is it? It's King Charles.
King Charles. Mm.
It's still hard to... It's a bit when they went from Marathon to Snickers, though, isn't it? It's hard to... It takes a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, people are not going to accept it, are they, really? You know.
King Charles is like the Snickers of the royal family. King Charles has a car fueled by wine.
Wine?
Wine, yeah.
Not specifically wine, is it? It's not going to be like... It'll be like a vinegar, won't it, rather than be wine.
I don't surely you can't get it off a shelf. You know, straight into his tank.
Yeah, is it like you don't want to mix it up like misfueling? You've put like Merlot in, it's meant to be a Malbec, and you're like, oh, what you done, mate? You're gonna ruin the engine. Yeah. Oh, you've not put rose in, have you? Oh,
you have to put a lot of white in.
Yeah. Don't move it, whatever you do.
Or if what happens if you get pulled over by the police and they go, have you you been drinking, sir? It's actually the car. It's fueled by wine. Get out the car.
Actually runs on wine. Get out the car and walk in a straight line. Like, what? You still do that? Just get straight in the police car.
Dave tells us that the world's largest waterfall is actually underwater.
That's not
a waterfall then, is it? No. It's not.
It can't be underwater. Be underwater. The water's not falling. No, I mean. Or was it? Was it once upon a time? Was it not underwater, and was it a giant waterfall? And now it's underwater.
But what is it? It can't be falling anywhere if it's underwater already, can it?
No, but maybe does he mean it was used? You know.
I don't know what's gone on there.
How can that even be
a thing? That's like saying the world's largest pocket of air is in the air. I mean, like, it can't be a thing, can it? It's in there.
No. What about Niagara Falls? Does that go underground? Oh, I don't know.
Right, last one for this week. We've got Harry Tries, who says, Jason, did you know a strawberry isn't actually a berry?
It's a nut, isn't it?
It's a watermelon. Mm. Oh, no.
Yeah, and it was something weird.
Hold on, no, I've read that wrong. A strawberry isn't actually a berry, he says, but a watermelon is what he meant to say. But I was like, it's a watermelon.
It's a watermelon. Watermelon's a berry. The massive watermelon is a berry.
A berry.
But the strawberry is not a berry.
It's not. I know.
Is it something weird like a nut, isn't it? It's something really odd.
Mm. Well, there you go.
None of that makes any sense. You've had this none before. Peanuts aren't nuts.
Anything
called nuts and berries. Just make it up as they go along.
Tomatoes are fruit. Banana. What's a banana then? What's that? Who knows what's going on? It feels like nothing's a fruit, basically.
But also everything's a nut.
Everything's a nut. Nothing's a fruit. Vegetables don't exist.
That's a nut.
Who knows? Waterfalls are underwater now. I don't know what's going on.
This is the problem. It's mental.
World's gone mad. Okay, we're going to rattle through our best facts for this week and pick a winner. We had Charlene tell us that corned beef was made that shape with a key for, with soldiers in mind. Paul told us Ridley Scott, the famous director, directed the even more famous 1973 Hovis commercial with the boy pushing the bike up a cobbled street. Bernie told us in Spain, they don't have a tooth fairy. They have a tooth mouse called Perez. In Paris, there are more bodies underneath Paris than people living there, according to Stephen. The bees have an extra stomach called a honey stomach, according to Adam. Andy told us that only two countries in the world don't have colours red, white or blue in their flag. A glass ball, like a marble, will bounce higher than a rubber ball of the same size, according to Tana. The largest waterfall in the world is underwater, says Dave. Charlotte told us that King Charles has a car fueled by wine, and a strawberry isn't actually a berry, but a watermelon is, according to Harry. Any of those facts useful, Stephen?
I mean, there's loads of good ones in there, but I think I'm going to have to go with King Charles's wine car. I just need to know where that works. Really? I don't know what that means.
I'm surprised by that.
I mean, I'd like to know the underground waterfall, but I don't think it's going to... I feel like it's not going to come up. You know what I mean? But every time Prince Charles, I mean, Christmas Day when he's doing his speech, I'll be like, hey, see this geezer?
That's right. He'll come on, won't he? Fat fingers here.
He's got a car.
I must put those pigs in blankets on.
That reminds me. Pop those on.
Yeah.
He's got a car that runs on
wine. There's a little story in The Guardian here. Prince Charles reveals his car, this was when he was Prince, runs on cheese and wine byproducts. A quaint solution.
Cheese and wine.
To decarbonise. I know, cheese and wine. To decarbonise his Aston Martin using a high blend of bioethanol. But it's not scalable to the rest of the world.
He's got an Aston Martin.
He's got an
for driving
Martin.
Around his... I know he's the king, but I mean, it just feels like if you're going to turn a car, you'd turn like a cheap one into a... You know, if you're going to like rip the engine out and go, oh, just put a thing in there so you can fit a wine bottle in it. But ethanol doesn't feel like a... It probably is a byproduct, but it's not wine, is it? It's ethanol.
Well, he knows, he's into all that, isn't he? But so he's putting cheese in his tank now. That's him.
Forget the facts as it is. I like to think of him, just like stuttering on a corner a bit. Just nipping in a co-op and going, can I get the... I'll just get a Stilton.
I've got cheese from your car.
40 miles, yeah. I get some Stilton, I get the strong mature cheddar slices, and then I get some mozzarella, that'll get me up. And he's just forcing it in the hole. He's getting stuck, it's all clogging up, and he's just pouring wine all over it and pushing it in. Everyone thinks he's a madman.
I hope he drives carefully.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm having that this time of the morning.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Well, well done anyway to who was that who said that? Charlotte Welks, there you go. A Jason Manford Show. Mug will be winging its way to you. Joining in next week, email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk, with your best fact. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. What have you got on this week, Steve?
Well, it's beginning to look a bit like Christmas, isn't it?
So I might start having a look
at trees, I think. I know it's early, but I don't care this year. I'm going all in early. Have you got yours already? You've not got it up.
It's not up, no, but I went to the Christmas tree farm in Winslow.
Wherever, and chose it.
I feel weirdly. I'm usually a 2nd of December. It cannot start until 2nd of December. My dad's birthday is the 1st. December's about Christmas, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm rehearsing for Panto at the moment, so I'm sort of in a bit of a Christmassy vibe.
I'm busy at the beginning of December, and if I don't get it up now, I'm not going to get it up until middle of December. So that's the thing.
Well, Steve, I think you should get it up. Okay.
Well, the Christmas you get, you deserve.
Christmas you get, you deserve. Exactly. So, we'll find out next week if Steve got it up or not. You can email us, Jason, at Absolute Radio. you can email us, Jason, at absoluteradio.co.uk. If you've got any questions for Steve, any bin chat, any facts, whatever you want, and we will see you this time next week here on Absolute Radio. Have a good week.
This is Jason.
This is
Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
This Father's Day, when you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost.
It's like the father of all shipping services. It shows up to the airport way too early, just to play it safe. It's overprotective about all the things that truly matter, and it's always prompt, especially to be with family. Make it your first choice to celebrate your dad. Ship UPS Air with our money-back guarantee, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Visit the upsstore.com/airshipping for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.